Acts chapter 1 this morning, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 10. Actually, we're just going to read verse number 10 and verse number 11. Jesus has risen from the grave, and he's ascended back into heaven, and the disciples are there. The Bible says in verse 9, a cloud received them out of their sight, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for thy word. And Lord, we just pray this morning, Lord, that as we have just heard sung, that we would leave this place changed, Lord. Lord, for that person that is not saved, that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, may today be the day of their salvation. But for, Lord, even us as your children, Lord, may it be good for us to have been in your house and to hear the Word of God, and that our lives might be changed more into the image and the glory of Christ as we hear the Word of God. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, throughout the Scriptures, several times, there are statements that are made that are really quite simple. You know, sometimes we have the tendency, and in our nature, I guess it is, to kind of just think a little bit too much, to overthink the statements. You know, Paul is in prison over in Acts chapter 16, and the Philippian jailer comes to Paul and says, what must I do to be saved? And Paul didn't get into a big discussion with him. He didn't go into a big, long teaching series. He simply said this, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And that man that night got saved. He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes we might take that statement and say, well, what does it mean? What does it really mean? What is it, you know, what do I need to think about? Or what do I need to say? And Jesus said, believe on me. Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Over in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, the Lord Jesus Christ is with the disciples, and they're walking along one day, and there's a fig tree that doesn't have any fruit. And so Jesus makes this statement. He says, this fig tree is not going to have any more fruit. The next day, he's walking back there with the disciples, and the disciples look, and they're amazed, and they said, behold, that tree is withered up. And Jesus Christ made this, just this remarkably simple statement to the disciples. He simply said this, have faith in God. And then he goes on to speak and begin to teach them about it, but he says, have faith in God. Over in John chapter 14, there's another time where the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and he's speaking to his disciples. And he says to them, let not your heart be troubled. You know, we live in a day and age where it seems like there's more people, the majority of people, their hearts are troubled. Now, Jesus Christ does not want you and me as his children to have hearts that are troubled. He wants us to have peace. He says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. But in John chapter 14, he makes a statement. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. And then he makes this really profound, deep, theological statement that you need to take years to study. He says, believe also in me. I mean, that's the simplicity and yet the amazing and profound teaching of Jesus Christ. You believe in God? Believe also in me. How simple is that? Believe also in me. But in Acts chapter 1, I want to bring your attention this morning in Acts chapter 1 to a statement. In the middle of this statement that the angels made to these disciples, there's a phrase here, and I want you to catch this phrase. I want you to hang on to this phrase this morning and for the rest of your life. For as these disciples are looking up into heaven, they've been with Jesus for the last 3.5 years. They've seen Jesus suffer. They've seen him die on the cross for their sins. They have seen him arisen from the grave. And now they have seen him go back into heaven. And now their lives are going to keep going on. Jesus has gone back to heaven. but they're still here. And the angel said this in verse number 11, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." I want us to think this morning about one phrase right in the middle. I want you to catch this phrase and cling to this phrase. It'll help your faith every day of your life. The phrase is simply this: this same Jesus. This same Jesus. This same Jesus. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8 says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." Yesterday, today, and forever. And from Acts chapter 1, I want us to think about this, how this same Jesus, how what is said to these disciples, how Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8, how John chapter 14 and verse number 1, where Jesus says, "Believe also in me," how it ought to help and strengthen, encourage, and establish your faith and mine today as we go through this life. This same Jesus. First of all, the angel said to these disciples, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you. This same Jesus. Let's look for a minute. Let's consider this same Jesus, the Jesus of yesterday, if you will. The Jesus of the Gospels. And think about how that affects you and me today. Because the Bible says this same Jesus is the one that I'm trusting in today. This same Jesus that walked with those disciples, this same Jesus of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, is the Jesus that I am trusting in with my life today. Think about the situations we face in life. I was just starting to go through and think of all the difficulties that people face in their life. You know, someone right here this morning, you might be facing a challenge with your health. So many people come to the reality of there's challenges with health. Hey, but you know what the Bible says? Jesus said, "Believe also in me." Believe. Hey, if you've got a challenge with your health, here's how you can strengthen your faith. Go back and read through the Gospels about every medical health challenge or problem that people faced, and look at the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, just walk with me this morning and go to the leper. You got a problem with health? Go ask the leper if Jesus Christ can take care of it. Jesus Christ wasn't afraid of that leprosy. He didn't say, "I need to quarantine myself." Oops. He said, "I can touch you and make you whole." Amen? Listen, I don't know about you. I'm not running out and buying a bunch of masks. I'm putting my faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? You ask the leper. You say, "But I've had this a long time. I've had this." Hey, go to the pool of Bethesda, right? Bethesda. Look at that man. Jesus knew. This man had been there 38 years. Jesus knew how long he had been sick with this infirmity. And Jesus healed him. You said, but Pastor, nothing works. Nothing helps. Oh, go talk to the lady that had that issue of blood. She went to all the doctors all her life, spent all her years and all her money, nothing helped. All she did was touch the hem of the garment of Jesus Christ, and she was healed. You might say, "Well, it's never been done before." Go ask the blind man. No one had ever seen anybody healed. No one had ever been cured of blindness. He says, "All I know is once I was blind, now I see." And on we could go. And think about and consider this same Jesus that met the needs and healed every sickness imaginable. He's the one we ought to be trusting in when it comes to our health. Amen? He's the one I'm trusting in when it comes to my health. By the way, I did my own blood pressure check. I mean, my own stress test the other day. I went through the Nahannock Forest. I walked 6 miles. Got back to my car and I said, "You know what? I didn't drop. I'm good." It's a good thing, because out in the middle of the woods, there was no cell phone coverage. I says, "Great, I'm good." Right? But you know what? He's a great physician. You say, "But it's not my health, it's the health of someone else." Well, go to the family that had that little girl. And Jesus walked into that home, pushed all the scorners outside that were laughing and mocking. Walked into that home and said,
said, maid, arise, and lifted her up by the hand. She arose. Oh, it's not someone young, it's someone elderly. Well, go to Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus, hey, listen, there's no health situation in your life and mine. There's no health situation in the world that is beyond my Savior Jesus Christ. But Pastor, it's not about health. I'm okay with my health. It's about my needs. Just taking care of the basic needs. Well, go sit on the mountain and look at the 5,000 people that Jesus fed. Oh, no, go look at the 7,000 people that Jesus fed. You see, the same Jesus that fed the multitudes is the same Jesus that can take care and does take care of every need in my life. That's why God said, and that's why Jesus said, that we can pray and say to our Heavenly Father, give me this day my daily bread. You say, well, it's not about needs, it's about finances. Man, how many people get anxious about finances? You know what? This same Jesus that can heal the sick, that can feed the multitudes, he can take care of your financial need. Do you remember what he said to Peter when Peter said, hey, we need some money to pay the taxes? Now listen, I'm not saying you know. I know tax season's coming up. But what did the Lord Jesus Christ say? He says, you go down there, you throw a hook in the water, you get that first fish that comes out, and you take that coin out of that mouth of that fish. You know what? Jesus can meet your financial needs down to the very penny. You say, well, it's not about finances. It's not about my needs. It's not about health. It's about some situation in my life. It's a storm. Well, go back and read about the storms the disciples were in. Read about how Jesus Christ was asleep in that boat. Read about how he stood up and said, peace be still, and the storm was stilled. And they were amazed. Even the winds and the waves obey him. Well, it's about my own personal life. Go to John chapter 4 and focus on this. That when he met that woman at the well, she said, he told me all things ever I did. Listen, there's not a speck about your life that Jesus Christ doesn't know about. He changed that life. You say, well, it's about someone else's life. Can he really change someone else's life? I've been praying and wanting and desiring for God to change someone else's life, but I don't think God is able to do it. Well, go out to that cemetery on the side of the hill. And look where that man that was so filled with demons that even the chains couldn't hold him, that cried day and night and cut himself. And they put him in chains and the chains couldn't hold him. He lived in the cemetery. And when Jesus Christ changed his life, that man was sitting there clothed and in his right mind. There's no life beyond the power of Jesus Christ to change. Oh, this same Jesus. This same Jesus. You say, well, it's about faith. Is the Lord challenging me and testing me and wanting me to have a greater faith? Hey, look at Peter. You remember the night that Peter's out there in the boat? And Jesus said, come on, walk on the water. Walk on the water. And Jesus looked at the Lord Jesus Christ, stepped out of that boat. And guess what? Peter did something no one else has ever done. He walked on the water because you know what? He trusted in the same Jesus that I'm trusting in today. But he looked down and began to sink. Yeah, who lifted him up before he sunk? Jesus did. You say, well, it's about my future. What about my future? Everybody's worried about their future. Hey, listen, go to John chapter 21. Go to John chapter 21. You don't have to turn there, but go to John chapter 21. You know what Jesus told Peter? Jesus told Peter, the one that had denied him, the one that he forgave, the one that he restored, the one that he said, feed my lambs and my sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ said, listen, Peter, I know about your past. I know about today. I know about your future. I know exactly how you're going to die and glorify me. That's how much the Lord Jesus Christ knows about my today, about my tomorrow. Listen, Jesus Christ knows exactly how we're going to live. He knows how we're going to die. He knows how we're going to glorify him. He knows it all. You say, but Pastor, man, I've struggled. And I've come up empty. Go to John chapter 21 again. They went out all night fishing.
caught nothing. Doesn't that sound a lot like life sometimes? Get up in the morning. They've been all night fishing. In the morning, all of a sudden, as the sun begins to rise, there's Jesus standing on the seashore. Right? He says, throw your net on the other side. Guess what happened? Net's full of fish. They hear that it's Jesus. They come running in or swimming in or whatever. They get to the shore. What do they see? They see a fire already on the shore. Coals in that fire, fish and bread on that, already prepared. And Jesus says, come and dine. Hey, listen, folks. This same Jesus, that same Jesus is my Lord. My Lord. He's the one that went to the cross for me. He's the one that died for me. He's the one they put in the tomb. He's the one that they put that seal on that tomb and that stone in that tomb, and that tomb couldn't open. He's the one that rose from the grave. That is my Jesus. That is your Jesus. That's the one in whom we trust. And Jesus arose from the grave and met with the disciples and showed them to the disciples. They were excited. They were filled with joy. Thomas wasn't there. And in John chapter 20, Thomas wasn't there. 8 days later, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it in my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. All of a sudden, not only did Thomas believe, but Thomas claimed the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord, the master of his life. The Lord, he says, he is my Lord. He is my God. I can trust him with my life. And you know what Jesus said? Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And so first of all, when we look at this same Jesus, the same Jesus of yesterday, is the same Jesus in whom we trust. He's our Lord. Hey, by the way, it's interesting, you know, I was studying this. This is off this message. I'm just going to go into a little one here, okay? But I was studying about how Paul had said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he said, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So I started looking up that title, the Lord. And it's used numerous times throughout the New Testament. And many times Paul says this. He says, our Lord, as he speaks to, because our Lord. But you know, there's only one time, apart from John or Thomas saying, my Lord, my God, you know, there's only one time in all the New Testament, from Romans all the way through, that someone says, my Lord. You know who it was? It was Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 8, where Paul would say this, I count all these other things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Paul says, I count everything else loss, but just that I would know him, that I would be in him, that I would be found in him, and I would know him. I'd know the power of his resurrection. I'd know the fellowship of suffering. I'd be made conformable unto his death. But Paul says, that I might know my Lord. You see, we've got to get beyond knowing Jesus Christ as the Lord. We've got to trust in Jesus Christ, not only our Lord, but my Lord. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. The Jesus Christ of yesterday went to the cross, died for my sins, rose again. And then in Acts chapter 1, it says he ascended back into glory. It says, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. All right, well, Pastor, this same Jesus
He was here. He did those miracles. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He provided for them. He met every need. But he's gone. He's in glory. He's in heaven. What about today? This same Jesus. Where is he today? Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, when he had by himself purged us from our sins, he sat down on the right hand of God. Jesus Christ is on the right hand of God in heaven today. He's seated on his throne. But this same Jesus that met the needs of every person that he met in the Gospels, this same Jesus that is seated on the right hand of God this morning is still doing the same thing, still meeting the needs of every individual. Let's just look at three passages or three examples. You don't have to turn there. It'll take too much time this morning. Acts chapter 7, if you were to go to Acts chapter 7, take all the troubles in life, take all the circumstances of life, all the storms in life, and you come to Acts chapter 7, and you got a man named Stephen who's standing outside of the city gates, and the mob is picking up stones to stone him and take his life. Listen, that's more challenging than help. That's more challenging than finances. That's more challenging than all these other things. He's facing death by stoning, by a cruel and angry mob. And the Bible says this same Jesus, it says Stephen looked up steadfastly into heaven, and you know what he saw? He saw the glory of God, and he saw Jesus, this same Jesus that was here, this same Jesus that died on the cross, this same Jesus that rose again. He saw that same Jesus standing on the right hand of God for him. And Stephen says, Father, forgive them. He says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and gave up his life. This same Jesus on the right hand of God. This same Jesus that was with them, that was taken up into glory. This same Jesus met the need in Stephen's life. You just go over a couple of chapters to Acts chapter 9. This same Jesus that had so much compassion on the multitudes, that told his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This same Jesus that told him, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They're white already into harvest. This same Jesus has said that after the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, that ye shall have power and be witnesses unto me. This same Jesus is the same Jesus that today cares about souls. For in Acts chapter 9, Paul, who makes a statement to Timothy that he is the chief of sinners, the worst of the worst, the hardest case there ever was, you might say, is on the road to Damascus. And this same Jesus that met the needs of souls in the Gospels, this same Jesus that died for souls, this same Jesus that stood up on Stephen's behalf, this same Jesus got up off of his seat on the right hand of God, and in all his glory came to a man named Saul on the road to Damascus and changed his life. It wasn't a different Jesus. The same Jesus that said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, they're white already into harvest. This same Jesus cared about Saul, met him on the road to Damascus, and changed his life. Go to Revelation chapter 1 for a moment. Revelation chapter 1. John is on the Isle of Patmos. Because you might say, well, that's Stephen, that's Paul. What about me? What about us? This same Jesus. Look in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1.
Verse number 9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Check out verse number 13. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, right in the middle of the seven candlesticks, is Jesus Christ. The same Jesus Christ that walked on this earth. The same Jesus Christ that died, was buried, and rose again. The same Jesus Christ that ascended back into glory. John says, I saw him in the midst of the candlesticks. What are the candlesticks? Look at verse number 20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. The seven candlesticks which thou saw are the seven churches. You know what he's saying? He's saying this same Jesus that was here on earth, this same Jesus that was on the cross, this same Jesus that was in the grave, this same Jesus that rose from the grave, this same Jesus that ascended back into glory, this same Jesus that is on the right hand of God, this same Jesus is in the midst of Lakes Pond Baptist Church this morning. Oh, I don't mean the building. The church is made up of you and me. He's in the midst of our presence here this morning. This same Jesus is here this morning in the midst of Lakes Pond Baptist Church. And what does he say? Look at back at verse number 8. Man, I got excited. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come. And then he says this, the Almighty. You see, this same Jesus that's here in our presence this morning, he's not only the Alpha and Omega, he's not only the beginning and the end, he's the Almighty, and there is nothing, nothing, nothing too hard for this same Jesus. And so what does he say in verse number 17? John says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. There it is again. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth, was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and death. Hebrews chapter 7, it says this, he ever liveth to do what? To make intercession for you and me. So this same Jesus, the Jesus of yesterday, the Jesus of the Gospels, he's my Lord, he's the one I'm trusting in. This same Jesus, the Jesus of today, that is seated on the right hand of God, that stood up for Stephen, that came down for Saul, that is in the midst of us today. That's the Jesus I'm trusting in. But there's tomorrow. The Bible says, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. You know why? Jesus said, I got it all under control. He said, I've got it all figured out. Not figured out. He said, I got it all planned out. He said, I've got it all under control. Hey, let me just go quick with this one. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Guess what? This same Jesus that walked upon this earth, this same Jesus of yesterday, this same Jesus of today that is on the right hand of God, is the same Jesus of tomorrow. And he says, listen, you're my child. Guess what? I make you a promise. I go to prepare a place for you. And you can trust me. My word is true because I am truth. He said, I am coming again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We could go to 1 Thessalonians 4 and we could see with excitement
how it's going to happen. I can't wait for this day. Amen. I mean, I just can't wait. You know, I can't wait for the sound of that trumpet. Right? Trumpet. You do know that, right? Okay. Because he wants everybody to hear, right? This is going to be a shout. This is going to be the sound of the trumpet. And we are not going to prevent those that are in the graves from coming out. But then the Bible says, we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Listen, that same Jesus, this same Jesus is the one that said, I'm coming again. He made a promise to his disciples. He revealed unto Paul what it's going to be like. But then to John in Revelation chapter 1. Turn to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. Because you know what he said? He said, hurry up and get there in the path. No. He said this in Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely. You know what that word means? It means you can count on it. Surely you can trust it. It means surely. It means listen, listen, listen. I've got nothing to worry about. All those fears, all those anxieties are not of God. They're of my flesh. Jesus said, believe also in me. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to come again. I'm going to receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. He says, comfort one another with these words. And then Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20. He which testifieth these things, surely I come quickly. And he says, it's going to be soon. It's going to be soon. It's not going to be long. And so when you go back to Acts chapter 1, these disciples are looking up into heaven where Jesus has ascended up into glory. And they're wondering about their lives. They're wondering what's next. They're wondering what their future is going to be like. And the angel says, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. You know what Paul said? 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul said, I know whom I have believed in. I know whom I have believed in. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You know who that is? It's the same Jesus. It's not someone different. It's the same Jesus. The Jesus of yesterday, the Jesus of today, and the Jesus of tomorrow. What did Jesus say? Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. Let's pray.